The following recording is a presentation of the Brean Baptist Church of Roanoke Park, California, and of Pastor Val Mark Smith. We are an independent Baptist congregation committed to the accurate presentation of the historical doctrines of the faith. We welcome you to visit our services anytime here in the Roanoke Park area.
So today I'm going to preach a message entitled, Oh, Rejoice in the Lord. And given what's going on right now today, I thought it was appropriate to revisit this message and just to remind us of a few things. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, for he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. How many of you know that song? Oh, rejoice in the Lord. Today, I'm speaking to a congregation of people who have some concerns, have some worries. Hearing about Pam, we all know how much Pam has suffered over the years, and we pray for her and for the pastor. I often ask him, not how Pam is doing, but how's Mark doing? How's Pastor doing? Because he's the forgotten part in this sometimes. And I worry about him quite a bit. And times such as these serve to rob us of our zeal for Christ, of our zeal for God. They sap us of our strength and our resolve. They rob us from our joy. Yet our Savior promised us peace. Even in the face of these great trials, he promised us peace. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. These are passages of scripture that I've turned to many times in my Christian life. Many different times when I've had problems arise and difficulties arise. And let's look at verse number 26, Romans chapter 8. We read here, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I've had so many Christians over the years come to me and said, I know nothing bad's going to happen to me because the Word of God said everything works out for my good. But you know, that's not what that's really saying. Good is a matter of perspective. Do you realize that? What's good to me might not be good to you. And what's good for you may not be good for me. And what's good to God is probably, definitely not what's good for us. Or we wouldn't see it as good. Okay, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we are born into the family of God by the will of God and by the will of the Spirit. So God promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us, but he never promised that we wouldn't have difficulties. He never promised that we wouldn't face trials and that we wouldn't face disappointments. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, we read, peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus says, I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And we have an understanding. We have a peace that the world doesn't understand. My son, my wife and I, we were married 43 years ago, last month. And we had two daughters. And I wanted a son. I wanted a son really bad. But I'd kind of given up hope, you know, after two disappointments. I mean, when my first... When my first daughter was born, I forbid anyone to buy anything pink. No one's allowed to buy anything pink. If people brought gifts over and they were pink, I'd tell, take that away from here. It's going to be a boy. I don't want any pink stuff. Well, when my second child was born, the nurse came out to bring the baby out for me to see, and she had it wrapped in a blue blanket. And I was so happy. I said, "It's a boy." She said, "No, it's a girl." She said, "We just ran out of pink blankets." So when my son came along, I just figured, you know what? It's not going to happen. So the nurse comes out and she tells me and my mother was there with me, she says, "It's a boy." And oh, I was so happy. I was like in the seventh heavens. I mean, I was way up there. And we were rejoicing. We were so excited. And then about 5 minutes later, a doctor comes out and sets me down and he says, I need to tell you, we don't know if he's going to make it. There's a problem and we don't know what it is, and we're looking into it and we'll let you know. I came crashing down to earth. And I remember going to, in that hospital, I found the little chapel they had, and I went in that little chapel and I closed the door. I was alone. And I knelt down at this little pulpit they had there. And I prayed God. I asked God, I said, "Lord, please give me the strength. Give me the strength to not doubt you or mistrust you. Give me the strength to accept your will, whatever it may be." Because you see, I knew that God wasn't going to forsake me. And I knew that though I couldn't understand how or why, I knew that this was His will and purpose. Did I know that day that my son was going to survive? No, I didn't. I didn't sit there and say, "Lord, you promised only good for me, so I know nothing bad's going to happen." No, I was fully prepared for my son not to survive. But I was concerned. My concern was that my heart would grow bitter. And I would be angry and grow bitter with God. And that was my concern that day. But Jesus promised us a peace that no one can understand. And I remember as people found out about this and as they came to me, some of them would say, "How can you be so calm about all of this? How can you be so relaxed facing this?" And I told them, because I have a peace that the world does not understand. I have a peace in my heart that I know that this is the will of God, and whatever His will is, whatever purpose it has in life, I need to accept it. The knowledge of this will allow us to live with joy even in times of difficulty. Let's go to 1 Peter together. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the stranger scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace." There it is again. "Be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifest temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Did you see that? We have a joy. We have a peace that comes from the Savior. How many of you here have seen Jesus Christ? How many of you have seen him? Anybody? No? None of you have seen him? Well, then how do you know he exists? How can we believe when we've never seen him? We don't know, do we? Yes, we do. We have faith, don't we? We have the Spirit dwelling within that tells us all things that are true and righteous. Yeah, people look at us sometimes and they say, "Man, you know, you're crazy." Well, I'm crazy. If that's crazy, then label me crazy, because I know in whom I have believed. Oh yes. Today, my beloved brethren, despite the deep sorrow we carry in our hearts throughout this life, we can rejoice. But someone here might say, "Well, I'm out of work. I lost my job." Well, rejoice in the Lord, for he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. And when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. You may say, "Well, I'm facing deep financial problems." Well, rejoice in the Lord, for he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. And when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth with gold. Maybe you sit here today and say, "I'm sick. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know how much longer I have to deal with all of this pain." Well, rejoice in the Lord, for he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. And when he is tried, or when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth with gold. You see, just remember, it doesn't matter what we're facing. It doesn't matter how difficult it may be. It doesn't matter how painful it may be. Just rejoice in the Lord. He's aware of everything in your life. There's nothing that happens in your life or my life that isn't allowed to happen by God, because it's in his will and it's in his purpose. Do you know that even Satan himself could not afflict Job without God's permission? Remember that? Job came to God and said, "Did Job praise you and for naught?" And God said, "You can tempt him, but you can't touch his flesh." Well, that didn't hurt Job. So then Satan came back and said, "Sure, you know, flesh for flesh, he's fine." God said, "You can afflict his flesh, but you can't touch his soul. You can't touch his life." And again, without God's permission, nothing could happen to Job. And without God's permission, nothing in this life happens to you or to me. So we have that confidence. In Psalm chapter 30, verses 1 through 5, we read, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and have not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast heard me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, that thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." We worry about far too many things, most of which never happen. What should you do when worry or fear creeps into your life? You know, when I find myself worried about something, or if I find myself in a semi-state of depression, I always do this. I ask myself one question: can I do anything about it? Can I do anything about it? If the answer is yes, then do what you can. If the answer is no, then don't worry about it. It's going to take care of itself. Why? I heard a preacher one time say this. He said, "You know, if you can't pay your bills, why sit at home and worry about it? Call your creditor and tell him, 'Hi, I can't pay my bill this month,' and hang up the phone. Let him worry about it." We don't need to worry about these things, because God will be with us. He will strengthen us. He will help us. Yeah, we might have problems. It's not going to be a rose garden. But God's not going to forsake us either. He won't leave us. Remember the admonition of Jesus. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 together. Go to Matthew chapter 6. And we begin reading, I'm going to begin reading at verse 27. Jesus is speaking here. He says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So you see, we're admonished here not to worry about these kind of things. Don't fret and worry over things that God has already told you he would provide for you. God will sustain us. Today I want to be an encouragement. I want to remind us of some things in which we must rejoice. And I want to admonish us to put away our sorrow, put away our fear, and live in the victory of God's grace. The victory of God's joy. Listen, if you and I can get this straight in our hearts and minds, then we will live such a happy life. We will be filled with joy, the joy that comes from knowing God and knowing that we are the children of God. So this morning I want to share five thoughts with you. Five things that we should rejoice in this life over when we face problems and troubles. So number one this morning, if you want to jot these down, is this. Rejoice in God's election. Rejoice in God's election. 1 Peter chapter 1, we read it earlier. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Elect how? Through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, I'm not going to preach a sermon on election. All of us here understand and embrace the doctrine of the election of the saints. But how often do we forget about it? In the midst of trials and troubles, it's easy to forget those things. Do you ever just seem to forget about this great truth in your life at times? Well, if you say no, you are of greater faith than the disciples were. And they saw Jesus with their own eyes and touched him with their own hands. In Luke chapter 10, we read, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Our joy should come from the knowledge that we are an elect child of God. And as an elect child of God, we will never be forsaken. He's not going to forget us. We rejoice in God's election. In Luke chapter 10, we read, I just read it in the 70 again. You see, the disciples were rejoicing in what they were able to do. They found great joy in the fact that they could control serpents and they could command devils, and the devils had to do what they said. They found great joy in that, but Jesus reminded them to rejoice in what they were and not what they could do. They were the elect children of the Lord. If our joy comes from temporal things that are here today and gone tomorrow, things like our job, our health, wealth, peace, if our joy is wrapped up in these things, then our joy will be temporal. For these things will go away. You will lose your job at some point in your life. Your health will corrode and will go down. If you're wealthy, hang on, because you might not be very long. You see, today, despite what is happening around us, regardless of what problems we face, despite the heartaches and the heartbreaks of life, there's one thing that never changes. And that is the fact that we are the elect children of God. It's never going to change. No matter what happens between today and the end of our temporal life on this earth, we're still going to be the children of God. It's not going to change. So rejoice. Rejoice today. When you're facing trouble, when you're facing problems, just rejoice in the knowledge that you belong to God. You belong to Jesus Christ. But then, number two today, we should rejoice in God's salvation. We rejoice in His election, but also we rejoice in God's salvation. In Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah writes, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Have you ever become so engrossed in what is happening around you that you seem, even if just for a moment, to forget that you're saved? Has that ever happened to you? That's happened to me. I have, even if perhaps just for a moment. Suddenly I'll stop and I'll say, wait a minute. I'm an elect child of God. I'm going to heaven. So what does all this matter? You see, when you hang on to the truth that you are saved and that you are a child of God, all of a sudden the problems you face aren't so important anymore. They tend to fade in the moment. In Psalm 73, we read, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. David said, you know, I got discouraged. David said, I got discouraged when I saw how the wicked seemed to just prosper. And how no matter what happens, they just always seem to be on top. But then in verse 16, he says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Listen, availing ourselves to the teaching and preaching of God's word strengthens our soul. It strengthens our spirit. It helps us to remember these things that the world wants us to forget. And then in verse 22, he says, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Oh yes, my dear friends, when you have the realization that heaven is your eternal home, and when you realize that nothing can take this from you, suddenly all of life's problems will fade in comparison. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see that? We're joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Jesus owns, I am an heir to all of that. I will inherit all those things. And so will you. We are heirs of Christ. So if we have to endure a little bit trouble here on earth, if we have to endure some hardship, and listen, folks, you and I will never endure the kind of suffering that the martyrs did. I don't think they're going to start burning us at the stake. At least, Lord, I hope they don't start burning us at the stake. But we're not going to endure the kind of suffering that our forefathers had to endure. But even so, if we did, you can't even compare that to the glory we will have with Christ Jesus our Lord. So rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Think about it. When was the last time that you knelt down before God and sincerely and genuinely thanked him for your salvation? I'm afraid to say, and I'm preaching to myself, it's far too seldom that we do. We get so wrapped up and so busy in life. We take things for granted, right? You take for granted today that when you get home after church, you'll flip a light switch and your lights will come on. We take that for granted, don't we? We take so many things in this life for granted. Now, I'm not saying you need to go home and flip your light switch on and then kneel down and say, oh, thank you, lights, for coming on. No, I'm not saying that at all. But we do tend to take things for granted. And when we do take them for granted, we stop what? We stop appreciating them. And when we stop appreciating them, we stop caring about them. You know, that's what's happening to our freedoms in America. You know that? We've taken our liberties and freedoms for granted for so long, we finally reached the point where we don't even care about them anymore. I submit to you that our love and appreciation is far better shown by our actions than our words. I think we should express to God our love, but we should show our love by our deeds, by our works, by our actions. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in God's election. Rejoice in God's salvation. Then number three, rejoice in God's blessings. Rejoice in God's blessings. In the book of Joel, second chapter, Joel writes, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. In this passage of Scripture, we see so clearly God states his blessings upon his children. Even though we do not deserve even one of the blessings that we receive from God, God showers us with blessings every day. Let me ask you a question. Do you recognize the blessings of God in your life? Again, this goes back to taking things for granted. So often, people receive things from God and they take it for granted. So much so that they don't even appreciate it. And they get to where they don't even care about it. Just stop and think about it for a moment. How much are we blessed today? And I'm not talking about finances or anything like that. I'm talking about how much are you and I, as children of God, how blessed we are. We have life. And you know, again, I'm going to go back to Job for a second. Job had a pretty miserable life there, didn't he? Sitting on the garbage heap, taking broken pieces of pottery and scraping the bowls and the sores on his body to relieve the pain. And his wife came to him. What did she say? Curse God and die. And Job said, thou speakest as a foolish woman. Though he slay me, yet will I not forsake him. Listen, Job recognized God's blessings. 1 Thessalonians, we're admonished by the Apostle Paul, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. He didn't say, in the good times give thanks, but in the bad times be bitter. He didn't say that. He said, in everything give thanks. Rejoice, even when things are bad, rejoice. We become such a thankless people. I mean, you see it today in the young people, don't you? I mean, I manage a staff of 155 people. Many of those are very young. And I got to tell you, the work ethics of these young people, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. America is not the greatest workforce in the world anymore. And unless something happens, we're not going to be. Such thankless people. I've got one guy I keep telling him, and I got to be careful because, you know, nowadays you got to be politically correct. But I got one guy, he comes up to me, and he wants a pat on the back. He'll come over and he'll put his back in front of me like this. And I look at him and say, you know what? Your paycheck is your pat on the back. And I tell him, if you don't get busy, you're going to lose that paycheck. Don't come to me for a pat on the back. I'll give you a kick on the backside is what I'll give you. But we are. We're such a thankless people. You don't believe it? Go down to where they issue the food stamps and the welfare checks and see how arrogant and demanding those people are. Put their hand out. Wait, that's all you're giving me today? Well, you ought to be thankful you got that. I've got a solution to that, but that's not for today's message. But we're a thankless generation. We've become so consumed with our next acquisition, that next house or that next car, that we forget about all that we already have, that we've already received from the Lord. It's kind of like the old saying, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees. Well, that's how it is now. People are so thankless. I used to tell my high school students when we had the school here, I used to tell them, go home, make two lists. On one list, list everything that God has given you. Parents, a home, everything. Just right down the line. Make a list of everything that you have that you didn't have to put forth any effort to receive from God. And then on the other list, write down everything that you've earned on your own. And I used to tell them, I guarantee you, the lists won't match. But we are, we're thankless. So we need to rejoice. Despite what we're going through, despite what's happening around us, we need to remember to rejoice in God's election. Rejoice in God's salvation. Rejoice in the blessings that we have. And then, number four, rejoice in God's providence. Rejoice in God's providence. Psalm 28. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. He's heard my prayers. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. You remember Paul had an affliction. Remember that? And he went and he prayed to the Lord about his affliction. And what did God tell Paul? What was his answer to Paul? My grace is sufficient for thee. God's providence is all we need. We just need to trust. He knows what we need. And as a good father, he's going to make sure that we receive what we need. You know, some of the things we want, might not be good for us. Yeah, some of the things may not be good for us. I heard an old preacher one time, he said, my car broke down, I got on my knees in my office, and he said, I prayed, God, please, Lord, I need a car. Give me a car, God. I need a car. And he said, a few minutes later, there was a knock on the door, and an old farmer walked in, and he handed me some keys. He said, I want you to have this car. I don't need it anymore. I want you to have it. He said he went outside. It was all beat up and rusted, but it ran great. He said, man, I should have prayed, Lord, give me a new car. Got to be careful what we ask for. I could preach an entire series of lessons on any of these points today. That being said, I only want to emphasize one thing concerning God's providence. In Hebrews chapter 13, we read, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Do you see that? Just learn to be content with what you have. Knowing that it's God that provides what we need, and it's he that has given us what we need. What greater comfort can anyone hope to have than to know that the Creator God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Think about that question for a moment. What's going to separate you from Christ's love? He says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, we can face our problems with the knowledge that God will be with us. And we know that God will always provide for us as he has promised that he would. In Psalm 37, we read, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Do you need something to bring you joy today? Do you need something to rejoice in? Well, then rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in his election. Rejoice in his salvation. Rejoice in his blessings. Rejoice in his providence. I could go on forever. Some of you think I might, but time will allow me to observe one last thing in which we should rejoice. In times of trouble and difficulty, or even in great times, we should rejoice. Number five, rejoice in God's victory. Rejoice in God's victory. John chapter 16, we read, Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. This is Jesus speaking just before his betrayal. And he says, the hour is coming when you will all leave me and scatter. But rest in sure, rest with this peace. I will never leave you. It was a quiet morning in the streets of Jerusalem. Everyone has gathered into the courtyard of Pilate, the Roman governor in Judea. A man, a prophet, stood before him. He has heard the accusations against this man. And he has concluded that for jealousy, this man has been brought before him. He finds no fault, no reason for judgment in this man. However, he desires to appease the mob and stop an uprising. Therefore, he delivers him over to them to be crucified. Jesus is marched along the streets of Jerusalem unto a hillside outside the city. There he is brutally murdered. He is dead. And he is then entombed. All the minions of hell and the devil himself is ecstatic. They've succeeded in killing the Son of God. Or have they? Luke chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Oh yes, God's victory. The devil couldn't keep Jesus in the grave. He did manage to. He didn't kill him. Jesus laid his life down. Jesus laid down his life for you, for me. Because it was needful that he die, that we might live. But no power, no force in the universe could keep him there. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. You and I have nothing to fear. I think about Daniel. Daniel was falsely accused, and a law was passed that said no man may make any petition unto any god except Nebuchadnezzar. King Darius. No man could pray to any god. He could only King Darius. And when Daniel saw that law, and when he saw it had been signed, he went to his home as he did before. He opened his window facing Jerusalem, and he knelt down in his window, and three times a day he prayed unto his God. The penalty for that was that that individual would be cast alive into the den of lions. Now, these lions, they were not regularly fed. So they were pretty ferocious and hungry. So Darius didn't want to do it because he loved Daniel, but his law could not be broken. So they cast Daniel into the den of lions and they rolled the stone. I heard an old preacher one time say, those lions got lockjaw. You can imagine Darius comes to the den of lions in the morning and he yells out, Daniel, was your God able to save you? And Daniel answered back, yes, O king. They rolled the stone away, and there's Daniel, and there's the lions over there all cuddled up and shaking. So they took Daniel out, and then the king took those evil politicians. Yeah. Boy, I'd love to see this. He took those evil politicians and cast them into the den of lions. And the Bible says that the lions break their bones ever before they touch the ground. The lions leapt on them in the air and tore their bodies apart. And Daniel received the victory of God. But before he could witness the victory of God, he had to step out on his faith in God. Did you hear that? He wouldn't have witnessed that victory if he had gave in to the king and went and hide in the corner to pray. No, he acted by faith, and God gave him the great victory. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can rejoice in the Lord today because God has won the victory over sin and death. They have no power over me. Oh, I will die. If the Lord tarries in coming, I will die. And they will take my body, and I don't care what they do with it once I'm dead. They can cremate it, they can bury it, I don't care. But I will die. I will live forever through the victory given me because of Jesus Christ. I'm not trusting in my ability to overcome today. I've heard some preachers say, if there were no heaven to gain, I would still live the Christian life. Well, that's a boastful statement made by boastful men. Men who fail to realize that if it were not for Christ, they could not even begin to live a life that would even resemble a Christian life. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we better best remember that today. You and I had better remember that but by God's grace, we are what we are. Not because of anything within ourselves. Not because of our own strength, our own wisdom, but because of God's grace, we are who and what we are. I am empowered to walk as a believer because God won the victory over death and the grave. So, today, I hope we've all seen that we have much to be thankful for. We've been given the peace of God. We've been given a joy that cannot fade away. We can rejoice today. We can rejoice in God Himself. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, for He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. A lot can happen between now and the day that I die. But I do know this, that in that day, God will wipe away my tears, and He will burn my dirty linens, and He will dress me in a robe of righteousness, and He will say, enter into my kingdom. Oh yeah, I'm not going to boast and stand here today and say everything good's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know. But I do know Jesus is coming again. And I do know that Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, for He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would have taught us today. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to rejoice in. And literally, we have nothing. Nothing to be sorry over. Bless us, we pray, as we leave this place today. Help us to live our life before a dark world as beacons of light and with joy and with faith and with hope. Help us to understand and to be thankful, to be appreciative of every moment of life you give us and the knowledge of the fact that you are always with us and will never leave us, never forsake us. And also, Lord, the confidence of knowing that you know what we're going through. You know what's happening to us. And Father, you are going to guide us through. You're going to see us through. So we ask you to give us this confidence and hope and courage as we go through our life, that we might glorify you and that we might praise your name. Bless the pastor, we pray, and bless Pam today. Give them peace and comfort. Strengthen them. Help us all to lift them up in prayer and to reach out to them and be a blessing and a help unto them. And all these things, Lord, come from you. And we thank you and we rejoice in that. And we praise and glorify your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Brean Baptist Church of Roner Park, California. If you would like further information about our church, please feel free to call us at area code 707-584-7275 or write to us at Brean Baptist Church, 6298 Country Club Drive, Roner Park, California, 94928. Additionally, you may visit us online at www.bebaptist.org.